the crowd on its feet. They are absolutely silent.
Wow, harder than I thought. Racing and talking at the same time.
Welcome to World of Motorcycling, covering rider culture and the motorcycle industry with John Davis, Walt Fletcher, and Steve, the producer, Johan.
Welcome, everyone, to another hour of World of Motorcycling. I'm Walt with my co-hosts, John and Steve. We've got a great show lined up for you, and we always start off this segment with Inside a Helmet, where we do a ride-by overview of what's happening in the motorcycling industry.
So, well, the one thing I came across is it was a kind of a lean week out there as far
yes,
as industry news, but I did come across a couple interesting things. And at the April strategic meeting of the Motorcycle Industry Council, they decided to reelect Paul Viternano as board chair, Chuck Bordimano as vice chair, and Jim Woodruff as secretary treasurer. The board also committed to doubling down on their efforts to attract new riders during its two-day strategic planning meeting this month. Our priority is to introduce more people to motorcycling while continuing to serve current riders. And a couple of the ways they're doing that is, one is their new ride program. They are reaching thousands of kids by giving them many a first ride founded by the MIC and produced by the Feld Entertainment Group. Ride will be staged at a total of 12 times this year at 7 Monster Jam truck events nationwide.
I've been to the Monster Jam.
Yeah, and I think that's a great idea of reaching young, energetic, would-be riders, because if you're going to a Monster Jam, I think that would make a lot of sense there, especially it's monster trucks and stuff. And then they've also launched MyFirstRide.org, a new website that offers interactive quizzes so visitors can find out what power sports vehicles is right for them and the adventure that awaits for them. And then lastly, they affirmed the industry through an outreach programs of motorcycles.org, which is there to train and engage thousands of mainstream media journalists, influencers, and celebrities in motorcycling. The board also remains committed to protecting the industry and consumers by working with lawmakers at state and federal levels of traffic safety emissions, et cetera, et cetera. So I'm glad they're doing something. I got a big idea for them. I'm going to have to contact them and say, you want to spread the good news? Partner up with the World of Motorcycling. We can help you
there
out a
go.
Lot there.
Yep.
And we may not be young as far as the next millennial. I've got three sons, though, that are 23, yep. 20, and 15, so I know exactly how that group fits into this mix.
And I got one in that group, too.
That's right. And I know that my middle son would like to get an endorsement. I says, why? Well, just so I can have it on there. And, Dad, yeah. I was also thinking of getting a trucker's license. A what? Well, hey. I might need to drive a big rig when I'm delivering something for my boss. I'm thinking, okay, that's my son, projecting yeah. way ahead.
Yep.
Actually, I like his thinking.
I do, too.
Actually, my youngest has his birthday today. He turned 35.
Wow.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday, son.
So that's how old I am.
That's Zach, right?
What?
Is that Zach?
Jeremiah.
Is that Jeremiah. Excuse me. I get the prophets mixed up there.
Yep.
All right. Well, Walt's a little older than me, but I do have to brag on my own son a little bit. I'm actually traveling to Pullman on Friday because Saturday, my youngest, my dear baby boy, is graduating from Washington State University.
Oh, my gosh.
Yep.
That's amazing.
Another
yep.
one
so excited.
Unemployment.
So proud.
Yes.
He's a good kid.
Yep. I'll bet he is. He's got you as a father, so I trust he was raised.
No, in spite of me as a father. It's all credit to his mother. She did our job really well.
There you go. I like it. My wife yes, I understand that. Ducati 1100 Scrambler is arriving at local U.S. and Canadian dealerships this May, it looks like. Anticipating expansion of the Scrambler Ducati family, the 1100 will be arriving in showrooms to celebrate the befitting of the Italian company's values on May 4th and 5th, unique open house event featuring live music, food, trucks, and opportunities for motorcycle enthusiasts to ride the Scrambler 1100 will take place in select dealerships throughout the United States and Canada. So just go to Ducati and find out more about that. And then,
unfortunately, my local dealer dropped Ducati, so I don't get to go play on one.
Oh, no.
I know, right?
Yeah.
Well, they're not like a huge, huge brand in America. But they are making every year they're doing better and better in their sales.
Well, you could come down here. I mean, the last I knew, Motoplex was dealing in everything except Harley. They're crazy.
Well, I know
they're
if your Skagit dropped Ducati last year. I think we talked about that a while back. But, yeah, so we don't have a Ducati dealer up here anymore. They've got a couple recalls out on Ducatis on the Panigale V4. They've got an issue with fuel tank caps and let's see, what's the other issue? There's low fuel level. There's an issue with the fuel tank cap that when opened it can spray gas. So anyway, a bunch of fueling issues with the Panigale V4. So they're working through that.
I would think if you open the gas tank and it spews gas, there's not any air getting into the tank. My old El Camino.
Something with the breather system is not right.
Because my old car, they didn't put the breather system on correctly, and so when you go to open it up on a hot day, it's just like splurge, it pours out. So when I go to restore it, I'm going to fix all that because I'm like, sploosh, there goes about a half a gallon of gas. And it doesn't
good plan.
It doesn't work too well either. The car doesn't run as well when it's under that kind of a pressure.
Yep. Some of the old MGs, like I had this little one, some of the older ones, they had a misshapen tank such that the gas would actually the vapors would build up on one side and couldn't get out, and then when you open the gas tank, the vapor which was pressurized would shove it back out. Mine never did it, but I heard of it.
Well, back in the day, if they went through the factory and some things sometimes like that, I got a phone call. I got to check out. So guys, you keep talking. We got our thing coming up.
Yep.
All right, we'll just vamp for a little bit.
Okay.
I know my son has a, he had, we've replaced it now, but for a while he had a Toyota 4Runner that I remember he'd park it out in the driveway on a warm sunny day and it would sit there and I'd walk by it and every once in a while it would just kind of buzz at you. It sounded like an angry bee.
Thanks, Mother. Bye-bye.
And I couldn't figure out what the hell it was. And at one point I had it into a mechanic shop for something else and I told the guy, I say, hey, listen, I'll give you an extra $20 if you'll tell me what the buzzy noise is when it's warm. Because it's driving me crazy.
Well, hang on there. We've got our music coming in, and that's our break. And we'll be right back with more of the show and a really, really exceptional, cool guest. So hang with us.
Yep.
Hey, everyone. Steve Johann here, producer of the World of Motorcycling show. If you have any interest in what's happening in the automotive world, then I invite you to listen to a really cool show called Horsepower Chrome and Rust, where we cover car culture and the automotive industry. Horsepower Chrome and Rust is a fast-paced weekly podcast featuring Shane Osborne, Brady Wright, and me, Steve Johann. You can hear the show at horsepowerchromeandrust.podomatic.com, where we'll be waiting for you.
What are all the things you witness online in a day? Cats playing piano, selfies on your feed, your friend's picture being turned into a nasty meme that's been shared 50 times? 51. 52. When someone's being bullied online, it's hard to know what to do. Now you can speak up with the witness emoji. It looks like an eye in a speech bubble, and it's in the symbol section near the clocks in your phone. You'll let the world know it isn't cool, and you'll let your friend know you care. Learn more at eyewitnessbullying.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Do you suffer from gastrointestinal anguish after eating spicy foods at your local Mexican restaurant? Do you suffer outrageous amounts of flatulence after eating greasy foods at your local fast food joint? Do you suffer from acid reflux after ingesting copious amounts of alcoholic beverages at your local drinking hole? Then call the law offices of Ambulance and Chaser at 1-800-782-5377, where we've helped thousands of so-called victims just like yourself. If you call us today at 1-800-782-5377, we'll make sure to send you out our free guide, The Top 20 Medical Issues Most Likely to Be Sued Over. But act today, because the longer you wait, the less chance you have to win your case. Remember, you don't have to suffer any longer. Instead, call us at 1-800-782-5377. The Law Offices of Ambulance and Chaser, making the most out of your misery. Please be advised, a law firm of Ambulance and Chaser is not licensed to practice law in all 50 states and may be called into question by the federal government for questionable practices, but hey, that's okay. You knew that already, didn't you? you greedy sucker.
Welcome back to the second segment of the World of Motorcycling. Walt, Steve, and John here. For more about the show, visit www.worldofmotorcycling.com. And in this section, we like to start this segment off with candid conversations where we spend time interviewing the movers, the shakers, the pioneers, the speed freaks, the customizers, the rebels within the world of motorcycling. And we have probably one of the premier customizers on the show with us tonight. And his name is Mondo Perez. He's a custom bike builder extraordinaire. He's a Dave Mann Lifetime Achievement Award winner, soon to be a Sturgis Hall Motorcycle Hall of Famer, and he's the owner of Denver's Choppers, which is just celebrated its 50th anniversary. And for more about him and his company, visit them at www.denverschoppers.com, and that's Denver's with an S, choppers.com. So how's it going there, Mondo?
How you doing? It's great to be on air with you. I appreciate that. It's going really well. I've been busy here doing some custom bikes and getting ready for the year traveling. So, I love what I do. I'm blessed. And like you say, I just celebrated 50 years in business with Denver Choppers and started out with Denver Mullins out of San Bernardino, California in 1967. And been creating bikes ever since. The long bikes with the long front ends, I think most of you people remember those bikes are still riding them. So, I've been blessed. And Denver left us in 1992. He was killed on one of our drag boats. We used to do top fuel drag boat racing. And him and I used to do that together. And I drove one, he drove one. When he passed, I went ahead and took the torch over. And been building the bikes for the last 25 years. And I was one of the original guys from Denver Choppers. So I was Bondo Mondo. I used to do the frame molding back when I was a kid in high school. So yep. it's been quite a journey, and I've been blessed with a lot of cool things that have happened in my life. Easy Rider magazine. I've had 4 covers. I've had I travel around the world doing bike shows. I go to Dubai every year, and so it's been fun. Just still doing the bikes the same way and building the Denver Springer front ends and building the Denver bikes just like we have for 50 years. And so it's blessed. I enjoy it. I go to work every day with a smile on my face. And you know that if you love your job, you're never really working. And a lot of times you'll catch me there 7 days a week just tinkering around making stuff and still do it the old-fashioned way without CNC machines. You know, we do it with anvils and torches and welders and just hand bang these things together and come out with some pretty amazing stuff. So I'm having fun for an old guy.
You know, that's great. I've got a friend of mine who just opened up fabrication shop, and he has it's E Company Customs, and he's doing car fabrication, though he's had a little bit of time with bikes and he's going to kind of play with that. But he's got all the old machines like you're talking about. He goes around and scours the United States for these things from World War II and prior, and he puts them in his shop, and he can do the bending wheel, he can do the presses and all that, and it's all hand stuff. So I really appreciate people like yourself who have that talent.
Well, you know, and I'm just thinking back, all our machines are 50 years old, the bridge ports and the lathes and the mills and everything that we have and plaz cutters and all those tools are just that's the way I learned, and that's the way with Denver why change it? It's just probably I'm too old to change anyway, but I love doing it this way, and I made my own jigs and build the front ends and all the frame stuff we do and everything else. And so if it's not broke, don't fix it, yep. And we can honestly say that we're building choppers the old school way. And the cool thing about our shop is we're not trying to build bikes that other people built. We're just doing the same thing we've always done. So we're not trying to replicate somebody else's work. We're actually the guys that were there from the beginning. So it's that makes it even cooler, because we don't have to think back and how did they do it then? How did they do this? How did they do that? Well, we were there from the start, so we kind of have a hands up on that.
Well, that was going to bring up a question I had is, who were you said in high school you were doing work, and What got you interested in motorcycles in the first place? Was it a family thing? Was it just hanging around people or what?
No. I started doing my first frame-off car, a Model A, when I was 13 years old, and I was really one of those car guys. And my mom and dad got me a little crafting tool set when I was a kid, and went out in the garage and tore this thing down to the frame, and I was trying to teach myself how to do body work. And Denver was in town, and he was already a legend building custom cars and chopping tops and putting air ride suspensions in. Well, back then they were hydraulics. And so I just used to go down after school and on Saturdays and just go hang around the shop and sweep the floors and stuff. And he kind of took a liking to me, and he started showing me how to do stuff, how to do body work and paint and stuff like that. And in the meantime, he bought himself an old Harley and started customizing it. And back then, you got to remember that you couldn't pick up a catalog and order parts. So if you wanted anything custom, you had to do it yourself. So he built a really nice bike and with an extended old Harley front end. He put some A Model A wishbones on the back legs and extended them that way, and it made this really beautiful bike. And then the other guys that were hanging around started doing the same, and then I went out and bought a Harley, and that's how we got started. There was just a group of us riding around building bikes out of Denver choppers, and people started seeing our stuff and liking what we were doing and say, hey, could you extend the frame for me, or hey, could you build me a front end? By this time, we were building springers and started building frames, and it just morphed into a business that took off. And before we knew it, we were selling, you know, frames and front ends, and had brochures and doing custom paint and turnkey bikes, and it went worldwide. We were sending bikes to Sweden at frames and front ends, and actually a Swedish style bike is a Denver chopper. And they even have a bike club in Sweden called Denver Choppers, named after our shop. And these guys, they sent me a poster a couple of years ago, or about 5 years ago, for their 30th anniversary or 40th anniversary by now, of a Denver Chopper bike club and regular MC club in Sweden, in Stockholm. So that was, that was kind of cool. So that, you know, as you go back and you look through the ages, you know, there's a lot of stuff that comes back to us, and the things that we did, we were kind of the experimental guys that weren't afraid to go out and try things like these super long front ends, and actually get them to work and turn corners, so that was kind of our claim to fame. You got to remember back then, you know, everything, there wasn't, we didn't have the electronic age, and we didn't have the medias like TV and radio to communicate all the bikers around. And you got to remember, back then there were only bikers building bikes, but so every region of the country had their own style. Like the Bay Area, Arlen Ness and Ron Sims and stuff, they had the northern style, the Bay Area style, which are more of a cafe racer, kind of fast bikes, low and fast. And then we had the long bikes out of Southern California. The ones that Dave Mann used in a lot of his paintings were copies of our bikes back then. Mm-hmm. And then the East Coast had their own style, you know. So we all the different areas of the country had their own style, and they haven't morphed into one. And guys didn't start, you know, looking at other guys' ideas until Street Chopper really started coming on strong, and Easy Rider. Then they started seeing the different styles, and that's what kind of brought this whole motorcycle chopper thing of ours together. And now, you know, our styles, East Coast, West Coast, they all morphed into one. And it's kind of cool that with the medium that we have now, that you can just get on the internet and check out some guy's bike in Germany or some guy's bike in Japan and go, wow, that's kind of cool. And they've got some of our parts on it, you know. And that always brings a smile to my face when I see these bikes all over the country and all over the world that are using our parts. So that's a pretty cool deal. That's a pretty unique position to be in, and I'm fortunate enough to be in that position. So, you know, I try to keep talk to all the young guys and say, you know, you got to keep this thing of ours going when I'm gone, you know, and some of the other pioneers are gone. You guys got to keep it going. And fortunately for us, we've got some young guys out there that are doing some really, really cool stuff and people that I admire and look up to, and Billy Lane, Aaron Green, you know, some Paul Cox, some of the familiar names, but then there's other guys out there that I've seen their stuff, and they may not be a big name yet, but they will be. And they've kind of picked up the torch, and it, when I see that stuff, it just kind of makes me smile and go, okay, this thing of ours is in good hands.
Well, how did another thing, you were saying Street Chopper and Easy Rider started showing up on the newsstands and in kind of an underground magazine, although in the late 60s, that whole thing was huge in the custom car industry, started just booming. The drag racing came on strong. You said you were a jet boat. That all just started, like, really taking off in the early 60s, and just you guys caught that wave, and it really hasn't stopped. But it was a very magical time, wasn't it, back then?
Yeah, you know, I'm almost 70 years old, and I think, I've been blessed. I've listened through the late part of the 50s, all the 60s, and through the hippie days and the biker days then, and the 70s were really moving strong, and that's when we came out with the Japanese bikes and the four-cylinder Kawasaki's and Hondas and putting them in our long stretch frames and, you know, the original Rice Rockets. And so, you know, you go through all these times, and I was blessed to be raised there in Southern California, where they had drag racing was a big deal. So
yes,
we used to always go to the drag races and watch those. And then later on, when we got started in drag boat racing, Denver and I, that we took that to the next level and we're the guys that did the capsules for the drag boats, the F-16 windshields and the roll cages. That's all our stuff. And most of the guys that are racing today still use my capsules that I built. And so I'm pretty proud of that, the capsules are still out there saving lives. In fact, a couple of weeks ago, I went to Bakersfield, and they had a big drag race. And it kind of follows the economy, any sport like that, for the guy just out there with a little shop and building a drag boat. You know, if the economy's doing good, then they got the money to go racing. Well, they had this deal. It was a big deal. There was a lot of boats there and a lot of activity and I talked to a lot of people that want me to get back into it, and a couple of boat teams want me to come crew for them. And so,
wow!
So that's kind of exciting to have more than just one deal going like the motorcycles. You know, I build cars too.
Mondo, I'm gonna interrupt you. I hate to do this, but our segment's just about over, and I'm gonna bring you over on the other side. And so hang on there, folks. We're going to have more of Mondo Perez on the other side of the music here and quick break. So hang with us.
When you want the latest news and information related to the Canadian motorcycling scene, then turn to BeltDriveBetty.com, your trusted source for all things motorcycling. BeltDriveBetty.com, serving the Canadian motorcycling scene since 2003.
Hi, I'm Danica Patrick. Watching my nieces grow, play, and learn is amazing, but not every child gets to be carefree. 1 in 6 kids in the U.S. are hungry. This breaks my heart, and it's something that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and gives it to families in need. To help, visit feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Hey, all you guys and gals. The next time you're hankering for a trip down memory lane, we recommend a visit to our Older Than the Hill Chateau de Smell Resort in Boondocks, Idaho, where the rooms smell like week-old cigarette smoke and month-old beer. Every weekend during the summer months, we feature our Old Maid Punker Run, Gooder Trash Clam Bake, and Big Ted's Keg Toss. And don't forget our complimentary Bloody Mary morning appetizers to chase away those late-night reveries. Sure enough, when you want to travel back and enjoy those old biker smell, then come to stay at Chateau de Smell, where our two mascots, Pit and Bull, will greet you at the gate, and where we never leave the lights on, because hey, after all, we're going green. Chateau de Smell, because nothing beats the old days of smoky bars, stale beer, and crap on the carpet than a visit to Chateau de Smell. And for those who don't know how to spell Chateau de Smell, that's okay. We made it easy for you. It's smellit.com.
When you want the latest news and information related to the Canadian motorcycling scene, then turn to BeltDriveBetty.com, your trusted source for all things motorcycling. BeltDriveBetty.com, serving the Canadian motorcycling scene since 2003.
And you could crack a chrome crown nut, make a hardtail go soft.
Welcome back to the third segment of our show, where we continue our candid conversations. If you want to participate in the show, make sure to visit our Facebook page where you can make comments and contact us. And we're going to try to keep ahead and let people know who's coming on so they can send questions.
Yeah, that
right?
would be a great idea, yes.
So we're right now talking to Mondo Perez, who is one of the greatest long bike, at least, motorcycle. I actually made that statement at the beginning of this when I was talking amongst us here. You're probably the best in long bikes as the whole bikes. But, I mean, it's like the only two guys who can make a front end with a long bike that actually is rideable is you and Sugar Bear. Have you guys ever, like, gotten together and discussed how you do things?
Sugar Bear is one of my best friends, and we talk all the time. And I see him at the events, and him and I just go sit in the corner, and you know, and we don't talk about motorcycles when we get together. We talk about other things, you know, like
yep.
Sugar Bear's. He bought like 100 acres out just outside of Sturgis.
Yes, he
and
did.
He's gonna open, and he's going to do his deal this year. That's going to be open to all chopper guys to come out there and hang out and to talk about motorcycles, and a place for the chopper guys to get together is going to be a destination. And I know people can donate to that. I know I bought a picnic table, and you can buy a picnic table from Bear. Just get a hold of him, and he's doing that to give back. You know, he's an older guy, even though he doesn't look at it like it. But here's a guy that's done this his whole life and has dedicated his whole life to choppers and doing what he does. And here he in his golden years goes out and buys all this property, and he just wants to leave a legacy for all the young guys and even old guys like me to come hang out and be a part of this chopper thing that is so near and dear to us. And so I'm really looking forward to Sturgis this year, being able to go out to see Sugar Bear's new location and hang out and talk about motorcycles and meet people. And it's just a good destination. And it's out there by the past Buffalo Chip. You just go out that highway. And so if you guys are listening and want a place to go and you're in Sturgis, just take the little ride, the little 20-minute ride out to his place and just sit down, and you'll probably be surprised with the people that are going to be there, you know, where you can sit one-on-one and talk to these people. So, yeah, be a part of it. Support Sugar Bear. That would be a cool deal for everybody.
Yeah, I remember Jeff Nicholas and I were talking. He said, Sugar Bear's doing this thing. I said, oh, great. So I called up Sugar, and I said, Sugar, tell me about it. So last year he told me the whole story, and I'm just like, that is just phenomenal. And like you said, he's got a heart of gold. He's giving back. And he says, you know, this is for families. They can come out, have a picnic. They can hang out all day and just enjoy a cup of coffee and just a nice clean area for people to just hang out, not be pestered by the crowds. And he said his view, as you probably know this, looks out on that long, windy road. And so you can just sit up there on the hillock and enjoy the whole afternoon. And I think you guys are just, I mean, Sturgis is another thing. It played a huge role in you guys, all you early builders. That was where you kind of came together and showed your stuff off, wasn't it?
Right. Sturgis is always a destination every year. Everybody look forward to it. I still do. You know, when I was out there last year and put on the bike show for our 50th, that was a big deal. It took a lot of planning and everything else, but I wanted to celebrate, you know, Denver's life and what his legacy and what he's done for our industry. You know, we were actually the guys that started the aftermarket industry selling frames and front ends, and that's back before any of the catalog companies had come along. So, you know, there's a lot of history there. And so having that event and sharing that, being able to get up on stage and sharing the history and talk about where, you know, to know where you're going, you got to know where you've been. And that leads me to the getting inducted into the Hall of Fame this year in Sturgis. Caught me completely off guard. And I thought, well, I'll never be nominated. I thought that was just for, the Hampshire type guys,
right?
Those guys. And I thought, well, I would never stand a chance, and so I never even thought about it. But when they put me up, they put up a bunch of people, and then they go through the board and they say, okay, he's worthy and stuff like that. And I thought, oh, they'll never put it in an old chopper guy, you know. And so it's quite an honor, and I'm kind of looking forward to it and be able to get up there and talk to people about the old days and about history and about Denver and the legacy that he's left and that I'm trying to keep going, keep history alive and talk about him. And so I think he'd be proud of what's going on, at the shop, still building the bikes the way we used to build them and keeping his name alive and all the magazines that we're in all the time. And I was fortunate enough last month to have a bike and bike feature an Easy Rider, and then the cover of Cycle Source.
Wow.
And the month before that is another Cycle Source. So, it's still popping. It's still fun, to see your bikes get in a magazine and stuff like that. So all those long hours you put in and all those little parts that you make, you go, there they are, that's always a fun deal.
Well, one of the things about that is I often find that you've got these bikes that get in these magazines, and isn't that pretty, and isn't this nice, and so on like that. And you ride the thing for a half an hour, and you got to get off because it's just terrible. And yet, make these beautiful long bikes with heavy rake and the whole nine yards, and they ride like a freaking dream from everybody I've ever heard. And,
that brings me a short little story. I had a guy about a year ago pick up a rolling chassis for me, a 30-over long bike, and he went home and put the motor in. He lived in Atlanta. He's put 50,000 miles on that thing in 1 year already. He'll ride back and forth across country by himself. He'll put a sleeping bag on there, and he'll just got pullback bars on it. He lays back against his bag and jockey shift, and he'll ride across country. He'll come up to my shop, stay 45 minutes. Have a sandwich. He takes peanut butter and jelly sandwiches and sleeps on the side of the road to get up to go to California, and then he'll come back and go home, and then another month. In fact, he's on his way out here again right now, and he just loves riding that long bike. He just wears out the tires, puts new tires on. In fact, the thing's only a year old, and he just had to have it repainted because he's got so many hard miles on it. But he came out to the Dave Mann Chopper Fest, and he built a little trailer, looks like a little coffin, that he pulled behind this thing. And there's pictures of it on the internet. And he just pulls off the side of the road and sleeps in that thing and gets up, has his peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, and he's just loving life. He just retired. He told me he had a road glide, a CVO road glide. He sold that. He says, this thing rides so nice. And he's got a Goldwing that he just parked. And he says that he just loves riding this 30-over chopper, and just blows people's minds seeing him run down the road on that long bike.
Matt.
A smile on his face and just loving life. It just and I introduced him to when I was at the Dave Mann Chopper Fest. I introduced him to Panhead Billy. We all know who he is, the one that's been living on his panhead and riding the country for 30 years or 40 years. And so I introduced them to Panhead Billy, and those two guys just went off in the corner and started talking about the different roads they've traveled already. And I wouldn't be surprised if they just take a trip together someday. I'm sure he's going to be in Sturgis this year. So if you want to meet this guy, he's making quite a name for himself, just running back and forth across the country. His name is Tim, out of Atlanta. And I should see him here in the next two or three days. And like I say, he'll stay 15, 20 minutes. 45 minutes is a long time for him to stay, turn around and go back cross country. And so these bikes can be ridden, so that's proof right there.
Yeah. Some people get that gypsy spirit, and once it bites them, they're gone. We got a friend of mine, Greg Frazier, who does adventure riding. He's all over the world, and he spends time with, he's been around the world, I think, two or three, four times, and he's just got an old Kawasaki adventure bike, and he lives in Thailand in the winter because it's warm, and then he uses that as kind of like his headquarters, and he heads out from there, and then he comes to the U.S., and then he's riding all over and doing a lot of mountain stuff in Colorado and things, but, yeah, he's got that wandering spirit. I mean, he'll never settle down.
Isn't that something?
I'm not that way, but they are.
Living life.
They are. They are out there. And so, well, and then the other thing I was going to ask you about is when we think about motorcycling and we think of all the trends that have come and gone, the economy, you've been through numerous economical upturns, downturns, And the people that are newer into this thing, they remember the 90s and the boom time, and then 2008 hit, 2007, and all of a sudden it's not still, it's starting to creep up in recovery times. But how have you weathered all that, and how have you been flexible enough to keep yourself going over all these years?
Well, when those hard times come, you know, we're the first ones to get put away and the last ones to come back due to the economy. Like I said, I've ridden this roller coaster for years, and you just tighten your belt, and you're it's amazing how humbly you can live when it comes right down to it. But the love of the motorcycles keeps the doors open, you know, and it gets pretty tight sometimes, and you just go, well, I'm just going to keep on rolling because this is what I love, and this is what I love doing, so I'm just going to keep doing it. And I've seen a lot of people come and go. Just look at all the aftermarket motorcycle companies that have gone down, like Big Dog, and through the years, and you know, just the whole list of them. They're all gone, you know. And even Victory is gone. You know, I think just being humble and being willing to live, you know, from paycheck to paycheck, and just never get up. I get up every morning with a great attitude and go, I'm blessed to have this day, and I'm going to go have fun and build stuff, and hopefully somebody will come along and buy some of my trinkets and order a front end here or there, and that gets you through, you know. And I think it's more, maybe it's stubbornness, you know, I don't know, but I've seen a lot of guys that have quit, but that isn't always a bad thing, because it got rid of all the guys that were in it for the wrong reasons.
Mm-hmm.
All the glory hounds that came along and were a flash in the pan, they're all gone. So it brings it back to the true bikers and the real bikers and the guys with the heart and soul, and they got Harley Davidson motor oil running in their veins. That's what separates us, I guess, is the real bikers from the wannabes. And so I think that just being raised, you know, a biker and being raised around where we all take care of each other and take care of each other's families. And I think that's just something that just stuck with me. And I made a promise to Denver before he died that I would keep this thing going. So, you know, I'm keeping my promise no matter what, you know, so I'll do this as long as I can, as long as I can still function and build bikes and run the welder. I guess I'll keep doing this because I enjoy it so much. And you know, more than anything is I love the people that I've met in my journeys.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and now I'm traveling around the world doing this bike stuff, and you know, they invite me in these different countries to judge bike shows and stuff, and you get to meet people from different walks of life and different countries and cultures that. And that's been real eye-opening for me, and knowing that this thing of ours is spreading worldwide. And, you know, it started out of humble beginnings, and here we are, you know, 50 years later, and seeing what this thing did, you know. And this thing, I don't think it'll ever die. I don't think it'll ever slow down. Like you said, the trendy bikes will come and go, like the fat tire choppers,
yep,
the big wheel baggers and all that stuff. Those are all trend things. If you're an old school chopper guy, you know, your bikes never go out of style. You know, maybe it'd be a while for not a whole lot of people are interested in them or buying them, but they're timepieces. The ones that built in early 70s still look the same as some of the stuff we're doing right now.
That's right. I mean,
they're timeless. So they're a time capsule, some of these motorcycles. And that's what a lot of people do. You know, those are the glory years of choppers. And people want to relive that, and the young guys want to go out and ride with their other buddies riding choppers and kind of get that feel for what it really was, you know, the camaraderie and nobody left behind and the brotherhood and sisterhood as well. And so when I see that stuff, I just, it makes my heart feel good, and I just got to smile, you know, that that's cool. These guys are riding, and it just takes me back to, excuse me, our days with Denver Choppers. We had about 30 of us that rode together, and now I think I can count them on maybe there's 8 of us left out of the 30
wow.
that are still alive. That are old original Denver Chopper guys. There's probably about 8 of us left.
Well, I'm gonna have to butt in here, and we have run out of time to have you on, Mondo. And I just want to say thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to be with us tonight.
Absolutely, I enjoyed it. And you know, if you got people out there have any questions or comments, they get a hold of me at denverchoppers.com, or give me a call, and the shop number's on there. And look for me in Sturgis. We all go do some riding. So
perfect.
We'll go out and see Sugar Bear's place. So
sounds good. Well,
for Street Vibrations.
So I will let you go there.
Street Vibrations. I'll be putting on a show in the Reno Ballroom.
Okay.
Perfect. Very good. Well, there's our music, and I hate to do that, folks, but sometimes we run up against the end there.
I saw the road ahead. It was a long.
Hey everyone, Steve Johan here, producer of the World of Motorcycling show. If you have any interest in what's happening in the automotive world, then I invite you to listen to a really cool show called Horsepower Chrome and Rust, where we cover car culture and the automotive industry. Horsepower Chrome and Rust is a fast-paced weekly podcast featuring Shane Osborne, Brady Wright, and me, Steve Johan. You can hear the show at horsepowerchromeandrust.podomatic.com, where we'll be waiting for you.
Hi, I'm Danica Patrick. Watching my nieces grow, play, and learn is amazing, but not every child gets to be carefree. 1 in 6 kids in the U.S. are hungry. This breaks my heart, and it's something that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and gives it to families in need. To help, visit feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Do you suffer from gastrointestinal anguish after eating spicy foods at your local Mexican restaurant? Do you suffer outrageous amounts of flatulence after eating greasy foods at your local fast food joint? Do you suffer from acid reflux after ingesting copious amounts of alcoholic beverages at your local drinking hole? Then call the law offices of Ambulance and Chaser at 1-800-782-5377. Where we've helped thousands of so-called victims just like yourself. If you call us today at 1-800-782-5377, we'll make sure to send you out our free guide, The Top 20 Medical Issues Most Likely to Be Sued Over. But act today, because the longer you wait, the less chance you have to win your case. Remember, you don't have to suffer any longer. Instead, call us at 1-800-782-5377. The Law Offices of Ambulance and Chaser, making the most out of your misery. Please be advised, the law firm of Ambulance and Chaser is not licensed to practice law in all 50 states and may be called into question by the federal government for questionable practices, but hey, that's okay. You knew that already, didn't you? You greedy sucker.
Welcome back to the fourth segment of our show. In this segment, we like to start things off with our Between the Lines, where we share a weekly safety tip. So, John, what tip do you have for us this week?
Well, I want to talk a little bit about mental focus, and I want to talk about how we can bring mental focus into our everyday life, even when we're not on the motorcycle. So there are times every day when increasing our mental focus and our fine-tuned physical movements are crucial. Things like clearing your grandmother's fine china and crystal from the dinner table, sipping a cola and eating a hot dog slathered in condiments while examining the rolling jewelry at a hot rod show, clipping your dog's toenails without cutting into the quick that protects the nail bed, oh, and maybe riding our motorcycle.
Yep.
So only the last one's going to hurt or kill you if you do it poorly. So one of the things that separates champions from also-rans is that champions tend to out-focus their competition. They make fewer mistakes, hit more apexes, stay in the moment, and run nearer the edge of traction longer than the folks that they beat. So in everyday life, we have chances to build our focus muscle, because focus is like any other muscle in our body. But we can do it in our everyday life without the downside of crashing our motorcycles. So think about it as, don't crash to coffee. Explain, you know, when your body is moving, take an extra millisecond, to put your mind into gear prior to movement. Don't throw your hand at your coffee mug and crash it. Use your eyes and focus to get that mug to your lips and back without spilling a drop. Okay? Mm-hmm. So I'm encouraging folks to find something you do in everyday non-writing life and make it your can't-fail process. If you fail at this one thing, you've crashed your motorcycle.
Oh.
But without the pain, expense, and embarrassment of actually throwing your bike on the ground. The goal is to be able to snap your brain, attention, and focus to a higher level when it really counts when you're riding. The faster you ride, or the worse the grip, or the more crowded the area, the more your ability to snap into the moment really matters. So here's some ideas. Lots of folks work at computers, and every day we have to type our password several times into our computer and other devices. So make this your can't crash password, your can't crash process. Notice how an instant of pre-typing focus almost guarantees a successful entry. Every time you fail at entering your password, you've crashed your motorcycle.
Ooh.
All right? When you're driving your car, your truck, or your van out on the road, focus on never letting the vehicle wander to the edge of the lane and onto the dots, the rumble strips, or the painted lines. Consider that a crash. Bring that goal to the top of your mind and notice how the increased mental focus increases your awareness of vehicle placement. Okay? When you're typing a document, again, you know, I sit in front of a keyboard all day. Every time you have to use the backspace button to fix a typo, you've crashed. Notice how much faster you try to type, the more crashes you have. So when your mind is rushed or distracted, the more times you crash.
Steve
push
would be in critical condition.
Faster and faster.
I would.
See how long you can go without using the backspace button. Okay?
Yep.
So just a few thoughts for trying to bring some of that mental focus that you need out on the road when you're on your cycle into your everyday life when you're not on your cycle and it's not the consequences are not as great.
I'm going to
so
put
that to
work. So
that's my tip for the week.
I'm going to put that to work. I really need to do that.
Yes. Well, actually, I ran the review on your little thing you sent us for interviewing Mondo, and the only thing it found was you didn't have an F on Facebook. So I don't think that's quite a crash. But at any
not
rate,
quite. No.
Normally you'd be in critical condition. But at any rate,
yes, I would. Anybody who knows my side of things, I'm a flow of consciousness when it comes to writing. But on the other hand, I'm going to put to practice exactly what you said. So thank you, John. We just had a great individual on, 70 years of age, Mondo Perez, and he's still riding and doing fine. I bet you he has very good focus because he's focused on building
yeah.
custom parts all day long, and he's used to just focusing on doing the task.
Just do the job in front of you.
And speaking of things seen on the road, Walt, what have you seen?
Well, we were talking the other day about my non-interaction recently with the WSP, so I just went down 405 just for giggles. And next thing I know, here comes up right next to me, guy that I had known before and so on like that. How come you haven't been going by, Rev? I said, well, you know, I don't have a job.
Yep.
And so on. And he says, well, you know, just maybe more time for Hog Radio. And I said, we don't do that anymore. It's now called World of Motorcycling. So he's going to try to help get the word out.
Excellent.
To switch
Excellent.
Over.
Very good.
So, but at any rate, yeah, it just, you know, you take your bike out and you just have a good old time and you feeling good. And the next thing you know, here comes somebody that you know and you're riding together and it's fun, you know, and you ride a while and then somebody peels off or whatever. You know, it just, it's, I've always loved that. I used to love to go to rallies and you picking up people on the way, dropping them off on the way back.
Yep.
And it was just, you know,
time for you to get out more on the road, Walt.
Yes, I am good. If
Pull
I'm not going to be working, I'm going to have to get out and ride. So, you know, but at any rate, I'm having a good time. So,
and what's this week's race updates there, John?
Well, we've had a fair bit of activity in the last couple of weeks with racing. In the MotoGP world, Marc Marquez continues his dominance at the Circuit of Americas in Austin. He's undefeated there, and he
wow.
won for the sixth time in a row. So next up, they're on their way to Spain. So that'll be an interesting, that should be an interesting situation there. In American flat track, Jared Mees was stripped of his win in Atlanta.
I read that.
Post-race inspection revealed that his tires had the presence of some chemical compound that was not supposed to be there. And so he was stripped of the win, stripped of his points, and fined some money, if I remember correctly. But he came roaring back in Atlanta and blew away the field and won in Atlanta and maintains the points lead for the season. So there you go. You can't keep a good man down, apparently.
Well, and
their next stop is in Calistoga, California.
Okay. And it kind of reminds me of Deflategate. And, okay, they fixed it, yep. And they still won. So it doesn't matter. When these
doesn't
guys
matter.
Are at their caliber, they get dinged, and the next thing they come back, and bam, they're just as good as ever. So,
oh, yeah. Yep. He's
and then,
a dominant rider.
Speaking of interesting things, this came earlier in this month, but Ortega Highway is known amongst motorcyclists as a demanding and challenging road. It's fast, twisty, and motorcycle road with perilous corners. The dangers include cliffs, embankments, unfortunately. As picturesque it is, it's been the home to many fatal crashes, including a popular Instagram YouTube motorcyclist, Annette Carrion, 33,
yep.
from Irvine. Yep. And they said she was probably doing 70 to 80 miles per hour in a 30-mile-per-hour zone. She flew off, hit the barrier, went down 50 feet into the embankment, and was basically killed. Folks, that's not how you're supposed to ride
that's
a motorcycle.
Not how you're supposed to do it.
And we think we're invincible, and yet the old guys that are still out riding, they realize I'm not invincible, and I want to be around another day, and I want to enjoy the camaraderie, and I want to enjoy the wind in my face. Therefore, I'm going to be careful about it. Go out on the track. Folks, if you want to go that fast,
if
go
you want
to
ride
the
hard
track.
Like that, get out on the track.
Yep.
There's plenty of them around. And
when you get old, when you get older, shall I say.
Yes.
I don't even want to say I'm old. But when you get older, get a bike that looks good going slow. I mean, you know what I mean? There are bikes that they don't. It doesn't look good going slow.
Right.
You know?
That's some wisdom right there.
You know, but
I'm
there
Walt.
Are bikes that
like
you're going
it.
Along and everybody's going, "Ooh, man, that's a cool bike."
Yeah, you know? That looks really cool.
Yeah,
like the chopper Mondo was telling us about the guy who's retired.
Well, here's our break. Don't go away because we have our rallies and runs and trivia question coming right up.
What comes to your mind when you think about motorcycle riders? The first picture that comes to my mind is a road warrior. A road warrior is someone who has a passion for life and adventure, who willingly pits themselves against Mother Nature and the dangers of the road, all for a chance to see the world from the seat of a two-wheeled iron steed. A road warrior must approach biking in the same manner as a good soldier, because just like your military counterparts, you will always face plenty of real and potentially dangerous situations every time you're on the road. These include bad weather, animals, road conditions, pedestrians, and other vehicles that share the road with you. I suggest we apply the soldier's way of life to our riding experience by following these few simple rules. 1. Get basic training. 2. Get to know your equipment. 3. Keep your equipment in good running order. 4. Be prepared. Like the good soldier who carries his 50-pound pack, it's a good idea to carry proper riding gear, tools, and other essentials, including a cell phone, credit card, and at least $5 cash. 5. Just as a good soldier follows instructions given to him by his superiors, we need to follow our instructions too. Know the law and follow it. By doing this, you are less likely to encounter traffic tickets, higher insurance rates, and possible impoundment of your bike. 6. And lastly, keep a cool head. A trained soldier always keeps his cool, no matter what is coming at him. You can't think clearly when you're angry. And speaking of clear thinking, a good soldier would never face the enemy under the influence of drugs and alcohol, and neither should you. Ride sober. So to all of you, fellow road warriors, God bless, ride safe, and we'll see you out on the road.
When you want the latest news and information related to the Canadian motorcycling scene, then turn to BeltDriveBetty.com, your trusted source for all things motorcycling. BeltDriveBetty.com, serving the Canadian motorcycling scene since 2003.
Welcome back to the fifth and final segment of the show. We start things off with rallies and runs, where we briefly cover tours, rides, events, and more. Walt, what do you got for us?
Well, on the 11th of May, right now, the next thing is actually started today. It's the Why We Ride to the Quail. So if you didn't get on it, you can't get in it.
No.
But on May 11th is Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, Myrtle Beach Bike Week. They're saying this is going to be
a good one.
The resurrection of the real deal. On May 22nd, Dragon's Last Ride has the fundraiser in Mount Lake Terrace, Washington. If you're anywhere around here, go get a good old burger. They're actually going to make me work as a server.
Oh, very good.
Oh, my. Get a burger.
I got to get a shirt for you then.
Reno, Nevada, Street Vibrations, Spring Rally in Reno, Tahoe, Carson, and Virginia City. And like I said,
when
I'm going to try
when
to get
that
there.
One? What date is that?
The Reno. That one is on June 1st through the 3rd.
There you go.
2 days after my birthday. So I'm going to actually try to get there.
Yeah.
But I don't know if I'll make it, but I'll try. And then on June 9th is the one I want to go to, but I can't do it. Laconia, New Hampshire, Laconia Motorcycle Week. That's where my wife is from, and I want to go. She says, let's fly. I'm going, I don't want to fly to a bike rally. Anyway.
You can fly and then rent one.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah.
And then on July 14th is Dragon's Last Ride. It starts at Emerald City, Harley-Davidson. Sign in at 9, take off at 10, comes right back to Emerald City, and they're saying they're going to have really good munchies this year.
Oh, cool.
Mm,
so, and then munchies. The Harley-Davidson 115th is over Labor Day weekend, August 29th through September 2nd.
Awesome.
Well, last week I did the trivia question because John wasn't on with us, and and it sounds like John's not going to be on with us next week. So,
sorry, guys.
Yep. Anyways, it was here was the question. What famous actor drove a motorcycle over a German prison camp fence in the 1963's The Greatest Escape? And it was either Steve McQueen, James Dean, Marlon Brando, or Charlie Chaplin. And I think a lot of people said, oh, I know that one. It was Steve McQueen. But you would be wrong.
That's what was
you
in the movie.
You would be incorrect.
That was in the movie. But the guy who actually did it was a stuntman that John knows who it is.
Yep, the guy who actually did it was a stuntman named Bud Eakins.
That's right, a well-known writer, actually.
Yep. Well-known writer, a famous writer from Southern California, good friend of Steve McQueen's.
Yep.
He and Steve did the International 6 Days trial.
And Malcolm Smith.
So, they were good buddies. McQueen wanted to do the stunt, really wanted to do the stunt, and I'm sure he could have pulled it off. But I think the studio decided that it was not a good idea to risk their star.
Right.
And so Bud Eakins got the nod, and so he's the one who actually jumped the bike over the fence.
Very good. What's this week's? Because we're running down our time here.
All right. So this week is, question is, what was the motorcycle that Mr. Eakins jumped over that fence?
Oh,
What motorcycle did he use?
I like it.
Because it's not what they said it was in the movie.
No.
Nope. No, it is not.
So you're going to have to go back and watch the movie, folks.
Yep.
Yeah, go back and watch the movie. And if you look closely and you know your motorcycles, you'll be able to tell exactly what it is.
Yep. Well, guys and gals, that about wraps it up for us. Make sure to share us with your friends and let us know how we're doing. This is Walt.
And this is John.
And this is Steve.
Remember, keep your eyes on the road, your hands on the bars, your feet on the pegs, and we'll see you out on the road.